thou, Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you would think of him, or the son of man that you would visit him? But you've made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor and set all things under his feet. How majestic is the name of our God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give it up for the band this morning? So good. Different start to the service, but I like it. Don't ever call me boring. Don't call me bald either. When I'm finished my degree, I expect that you'll call me Master Pastor. Yeah. Jen thinks I'm kidding, but that's how she's going to address me at home from now on. Master Pastor. Just sounds so good. Or I could go Pastor Master, but it doesn't work that well. Master Pastor works really well. I think that's a word from God. We're about to launch a whole new series this month. Hey, welcome. Summer's over. You made it. High five the person next to you. You did not die. I'm so glad you made it through, which is awesome. And we're into autumn, which is great. I love autumn. I love autumn and spring and nights, the cooler nights and the nicer days. And we're about to launch in a new series. I want to launch out with the key verse that I've got here, which is Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Perhaps you've heard this. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." David says this, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust." What a phenomenal verse. And this morning, we're not going to travel too far into the whole thing because we just want to set it up for this month. But I want you to think about this verse. Like, this is a crazy over-the-top verse when you think about it. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And it's like, okay, if this is your positioning statement, then he says, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in him I will trust." I can confidently say that. And so the question I want to throw out this morning is this: how many of us today can absolutely, confidently, without any shadow of a doubt, say that we have total hope, total trust and confidence in our God? Because that's what this verse is saying. And that we feel every single day His protection, His peace, security, and His power on our behalf. Because the honest truth is, for a good majority of us, we think so. We hope so. We like to believe so. And as we explore this series over this next couple of weeks, if you come on this journey, if you can engage, then you can come to a place of power in His presence if you're willing to seek out the secret place and understand what that looks like in your life. The secret place power. And as we begin to do this, I want you to come with me on this journey over this month. And so I'm going to give you some little bits that you can get excited about next week. If you came this week, you should have come next week. So, which is really cool. Part two, we're going to look at how we approach the secret place. How do we approach the secret place? Because we're all different. We're so unique and wonderful in the way that God created us. So the way that we worship, the way that we enter the presence of God isn't the same, and it doesn't even need to be. This is actually going to set some people free next week, because you're going to go, "Oh wow, I've got permission to connect and relate to God in this manner and fashion and way," which is really, really cool. And part three is probably my favorite out of the whole month. And we're going to look at the battleground of the quiet place. The battleground of the quiet place. And I don't know how you are, but I'm a guy, so my wife can ask me, "What are you thinking?" And I'll say, "Nothing." Isn't that true, guys? You can do that. We can go for days like that. Nothing going on in that brain at all. And so I can go all day just dragging my brain along for the journey. And here's a funny phenomenon, right? The moment I quiet myself to pray, my mind goes into overdrive. I'm thinking of all the people I'm supposed to be calling. I'm making lists. There's chores I'm supposed to be doing. I'm remembering things from inside the womb. You know, just... I mean, it is a battleground when we try to get into that quiet place. And we've got to figure out how to deal with that and not be distracted in that secret place by the busy space. So we're going to begin to talk about that in that third week. And part four, of course, it's so important that we activate secret place power. And the importance of the premise for the promise. Because there's always a promise in the Word of God. But to see the promise, you've got to understand the premise. And how we can engage in the promise that God has for us and why. That's absolutely crucial for our walk with Jesus. So I'd love for you to lock it in this month. Get hold of the notes on YouVersion, you know, events. You can log into that on your Bible app. Download the messages on Podbean. Pull them apart during the life groups and stuff. And I know it's going to set you up for an incredible year in so many areas of your life. So over this time, I just want you to lean in and go, come on, Pastor Rick, give it to me. And, you know, draw it out of me. And I believe that God is going to have something for you. I remember a little while ago, back when I was little, one of the things I loved to do was build cubby houses. Do we have any cubby house builders in the house? You know, do you remember that? You know, back in the olden days, did they build cubby houses still? You know, I'm pretty sure they did, right? All through my childhood years, we used to build cubby houses. And it was always like, it's a place for us to go to and run away from. Isn't that true? No adults allowed in cubby houses. Right, and that was kind of the deal. Well, I wasn't like a lot of normal kids, as you probably figured. And I'll never forget one particular place that we lived in. Behind us, we had some acreage, and it was just owned by the council at the time. And we decided to build a cubby house in the acreage, and it was just kind of like a big lot. And they'd, you know, every 10 years or something, mow it. That was about it. So over the back we went, and instead of just building a normal cubby house, we decided to just go a little bit further, and we built this cubby house underground. So we sunk a shaft down about 4.5 feet straight down, about the size of a manhole, and we would put a cover over the top of it with dirt glued onto the cover and clumps of grass, so you could literally walk over the top of it and not even know it was there. And once you jump down into the hole, then you followed another shaft at a slight angle even further down, under the earth. Talk about a great way to die. Like, seriously, I never would find the body. It's ridiculous when I look back now. And because did we have wood supports? Of course not. I think we did. I think we had... Do you remember those packing boxes that tea tree... Was it tea tree boxes? They're made out of the thinnest ply possible. That was our support. So just one. That was all right. So we came down. So imagine this. You come down the shaft. You go across on an angle even further down, and then it opened up into kind of two linked cabins that were all up almost 10 feet long and about 5 feet wide underground in the middle of this paddock. My mother never knew anything about, nobody knew about that this was our secret place. And because of my age at the time, I was getting old, I was nearly eight, so we used to smoke under there. Because back in the day, that's, you know, serious. But, you know, I did draw back once, and that nearly killed me. So I just go, well, we're smoking. No, you're an idiot. And so we even had a little chimney cut in, and like a pipe that literally just popped up over the ground that I stole out of our rainwater system in the house. It's okay. It was a council home, so it wasn't from my mother that I stole that. And then we had all these different things in there. And, you know, this cubby house was a place that I ran to. Because I don't know how your childhood was, but mine was pretty traumatic. So I needed somewhere to go. I needed some place that I could feel safe. And so every afternoon I would kind of run home and you could find me there. Well, you couldn't find me there because you didn't know how to get there. And it was kind of right in the middle. And this would be the place that I'd run to all the time. And I'll never forget... you know, months in, we had a few in the gang that kind of knew where the secret place was in the cubby house. And then one day, to our horror, the council truck pulled up and off comes this big tractor slasher. And we're going, oh no, man, they're going to bust this and they're going to find our cubby house. And we're going to, you know, this is going to be in trouble and, you know, they're going to fill it in. And so we began to watch them mow. you know, just back and forward. You know how they just mow the entire strip, turn around, tie way back. And we're watching it, and little by little, all my friends, you know, in this neighborhood, we were hanging out on all the back fences of the property looking at it and going, oh man, I hope he doesn't see it. And then we're like, he's got to be right there. And then I began to have this amazing thought, he hasn't seen it. This is awesome. We're going to get away with it. And right after that thought, there's this biggest noise you've ever heard as the entire tractor disappears. And the arm of the tractor with the slasher still attached, slashing mildly, goes up into the air. And I could see the whites of this driver's eyes as he thought, I've gone live down to hell. Long story short, we never got busted, which was awesome. But they had to get another bigger tractor to pull that tractor out. It had ruined all the arm and cost them a lot of money, but, you know, for the glory of God. I felt okay. See, that cubby house was my safe place. It was a place that I would hide out. That was a place that I'd run to almost every single afternoon of my life. No, I'm good. You can have a drink if you want, Gray. Can I get you to ask your neighbor this morning? I want you to take some time now. Don't rush it. Pick your favorite neighbor. And I want you to ask them this question, which is also the title of my message today. You ready? And you've got to kind of say it with intent. Where do you run? Where do you run? Where do you run? Now ask your second choice neighbor who's feeling a little fragile, so they may want to run. Where do you run? I got good news for you today. You don't actually have to answer that question. Some of you probably already did. Where do you run? When we're talking about secret place power, and I want to launch this series off with just a thought in just the time that we have this morning on this concept of where do you run? And it's okay, because I want to let you in on a secret today that you may not know. We all run. We all run. I've met people all over my life who run, and it's even okay to run. But the question still kind of hangs in the air. Where do you run? Do you know, I remember when we were down in Brisbane and we were going to come up here, and I had some, you know, great, well-meaning people, you know, sit me down and encourage me, because have you ever been up to Caboolture? And I said, no, I haven't really. And they go, well, it's a tough area, Rick. It's not that tough. I'm tougher. It's like, you know, they got problems up there, you know. They're like drug and alcohol abuse, and people are under pressure down there. And you know, I got to confess with you something. Yeah, you guys are all messed up. I agree. No, that's not true. So I've been up here 8 years now, right? Do you know you're just the same? Do you know that you run just like they run? Do you know the people who drink the alcohol up here, same people drink alcohol down there, they just pay more for the bottle? So actually you're getting better value for money? Do you know the people who do drugs up here? They do drugs down there, they're just prescription drugs. Same. You run to the same kind of things that they run to. Because I found, and you know, this will freak you right out. We were out at Roma. We noticed that it's the same as well. Just, you can't really run far in Roma because there's nothing there. You know, when we were down the Gold Coast, we found out that you could run as well. And the Gold Coast keeps you so busy that you just keep running around in circles till you die. So Jen started running and made me keep running till we made it to Brisbane. Then we never went back to the Gold Coast. But the reality is that question kind of hangs out. Where do you run? When you run? You know, where do you find yourself running? Do you run to the bottle? Do you run to your past? Do you run out the door and back into, you know, the excuses? Do you run to losing your identity in Christ? In that moment when the problems happen, where do you run? Where do you run? I want us to kind of pull this back, and I want you to come with me. I want you to lean in this morning as we just, because this is, I'm going to be, you know, kind of really done in 3 minutes. And then all the rest is just padding. You know, if I could say that. Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I began to think about this. Man, I want to live, take up residence, find myself located under the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, that's nice, isn't it? That if you live in a position where if enemy tries to come close to you, you're so close that God could stretch out his arm and smack him in the head. You know, you ever been that close? That you're so protected that there's no fear in your life because you know there's no chance they can get to you because you're literally, you're right under his shadow. That's where I want to be. That I'm not afraid, I'm covered and protected. And so, but the promise is held by the premise, which is he who dwells in the secret place. He who dwells. Where do you dwell? Have you ever thought about that? Have you found yourself dwelling on stuff you shouldn't be dwelling on? Don't look at your neighbor now. Thinking thoughts you shouldn't be thinking. Focusing on what you shouldn't be focusing on. You know, you're like, your mind has gone to places it shouldn't have gone. You're dwelling on it. And it begins, have you ever done that? And you're going, I didn't ask for this movie and now it's on repeat. And negative thoughts are just filling your head. Worst case scenarios, fear is overcoming. You're supposed to believe the best, but you're now assuming the worst. You know, you're going to have a conversation with your boss and suddenly you're unemployed and you're living on the riverfront. You know, you're going to go, how did I go from, you know, just I'm going to have a conversation with my boss and now I'm living on the riverfront, you know? I mean, how did I go from here all the way to there? I began to dwell on something. Maybe today you've been battling with bad habits. Maybe you've been, you know, into alcohol too much. Maybe as a guy or even a girl, you've been into pornography. You've been dwelling on something. And here's what I've noticed. And please listen to me really carefully now, because this is probably the most important part of my message, because it sets you up for something that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life this morning. We catch ourselves, don't we, in that moment. In that moment when you've gone to that bad place, when you've kind of crossed that line, in that moment we catch ourselves and then we feel shame. We feel a little bit disappointed in ourselves. We feel like we should have known better. And we look at it and we go, man, I can't believe I'm here again. And what is important is listen, in that moment, right there, in that moment, hold it in your imagination. Not the moment you messed up, but the moment you fessed up. Not the moment you got caught. I'm not talking about that. The moment you got convicted. So nobody knows but you. You're actually not in trouble, right? Listen to me. That's the moment I want you to think about. That moment when it's just you and God and you still feel ashamed. In that moment, where do you run? Where do you go? Because David had that moment. When God said, Adam, where are you? Shame entered his life for the first time. He had no idea what to do with it, so he ran and hid. And men have been running ever since from the presence of God. The very place that we should run to, we run from. Yeah. In that moment, when you're just so tired, where do you run? Do you know, can I say this? I had a conversation with this many times years ago with a man, and he did night shift. And he would come and sit in our church and sleep in the pew. And I said, just don't snore. And I was so grateful that he'd come. Because of all the places that you can have a sleep, this is the best place. I mean, can you honestly sleep in the presence? If you're a little bit tired right now, close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Just to find that place. In that moment when you're really tired, in that moment when you're so frustrated, in that moment when you're so angry, When you're so emotionally drained, when you let fly and it was like a dam bursting and you're like, those words just shot out of my mouth and I know what I did. In that moment that you fill in the blanks, where do you run in that moment? Like, where do you go? Where did you go in that moment? That's what we need to understand. And in Psalm chapter 32, verse 7 in the Passion Translation, David unpacks this so beautifully. He says, Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles. Wow. Lord, in this moment, in that moment, when I don't know what to do, when my legs have already started going at 100 miles an hour, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, whatever these troubles are, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. And in the Old King James Bible, there's a word that comes straight after that word breakthrough, and it's selah. And it means pause and think on these things. Literally, it means this: to pause in his presence. Wow. I began to meditate on this verse and think about it. And I thought, Lord, you are my secret hiding place. And then this is now watch this verse. Ready? Protecting me. So when you run into God, the very first thing that God does is put his hands on his hips and tell you what you did wrong. The very first thing when the prodigal son returned to the father was the father stood there and go, I knew you'd be back. I told you so. Look at you. Look at your life. You had all this and you threw it away. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Can I encourage people, don't give too many people a piece of your mind. You need all of it. Don't give them a piece of yours. You need it. But in the moment you run to Jesus from all of these troubles, whether those troubles are sometimes just in our own minds, whether they're our own fears and our own inadequacies, then may not even be real, but it doesn't matter because they're real to you. Isn't that true? Have you noticed that sometimes the truth is not that important? I know that sounds controversial, but it's true. That don't make sense. It's a paradox. I had a dog once. No, anyway. Protecting me. The very first thing that God does is he protects me from my trouble, whatever it is, whatever that state is. The very first thing, the moment you run into the presence of God, let me tell you, church, if you can get this out of nothing else out of this series, when you run to the presence of God, the very first thing he does is he steps in front of everything around your world and he says, no more. He steps in front of that fear and that brokenness and that insecurity and that abuse and that hurt and that lack of wisdom and whatever that situation is. He says, I will protect you. I am God. Like that big brother who steps in and goes, you want to touch my boy? Like when I stand up at youth and I stand up to somebody coming into the shed, I feel Stuart coming back behind me. And suddenly I get way tougher. Because I'm in his protection. Do you see that? And the very next thing, listen to me. Watch this verse. This is incredible. He protects you in that moment. He causes and his call to action. And then the Bible says he surrounds you with songs of gladness. This nearly did me undone. I nearly drove off the road. Now, I probably shouldn't have been reading while I was driving, but... So I'm in this place where I'm just undone and I run to God and I feel his protection, but I can't praise him. I can't even sing a song. So he says, I will. I won't just sing you a song, Rick. I'll surround you with songs of gladness. I will breathe hope into your dead situation. I will be an anchor for you, but I won't just be an anchor and quietly stand there going, well, I'm here for you. I will literally speak life into your very being. In that moment, in that place, I will begin to place a new song. And it's not just any song. The Bible says it is a song of gladness. And then something incredible happens, the Bible says. Your joyous shouts what not mine, his, will begin to release my breakthrough. Old Testament, Joshua was called to march around the wall, not say a word because he didn't want to undo what God has done, building up the faith on the inside of them. And then he said, on the seventh day, after the seventh time around, I want you to yell and run at those walls. I began to realize something incredible about grace is God says, you know what? You don't even have to yell anymore. I will for you. Just be in the shadow of the presence of God. Just be here. You know, none of my kids have to perform to partake of the blessing that I bring into the household as a father. Simon just bought a house and he made all of his kids bleed for the last 9 months before they could walk across the threshold, pour out every cent they ever had, work their fingers to the bone. No, he didn't. Do you know who carried the weight and the pressure and the responsibility of all of that? The man of God. Do you know who carries the weight and responsibility and the pressure of all of that? The God of man. When you step in, he will literally surround you and then he will release the breakthrough in your life. Can I encourage you? Where do you run? If you look at this, you will go, I am running to God. Psalm 32, verse 7, in the Passion, David again pouring out his heart. I love David. He just kept pouring it out. 27, verse 4 to 5. What God showed me in these passages of Scripture is that secret place power is found in the presence of God and not the knowledge of God. That if you want to access the power of God, you need to understand not more about God, you need to understand and locate yourself in the presence of God. In Psalm 27, David writes, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. In other words, that my attention isn't going to be distracted by all the things that want to grab it, but that rather my eyes are filled with the possibility of the greatness of God, to inquire in his temple. And then there's a shift of thought, and he comes into the situation and the circumstance that you and I find ourselves in every single week almost. For in the time of trouble, because who knows, trouble comes. Isn't that true? You didn't ask for it. You're not looking for it. In fact, you know, some Christians kind of get shocked when things happen. Can I encourage you? Jesus told us in this world you will have tribulation. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed this, but the world is not such a beautiful place. Louis Armstrong was not quite correct. That there are some nasty, horrible people in this world. There are some horrible situations that come. There is some sickness and disease that even attack the Christian, that it rains on the just and the unjust, and sometimes the rain doesn't stop and it turns into a flood and it washes away so much of our hopes and dreams. And in that moment, David says these words, in the time of trouble, guess what? He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. When you run to the Lord, then you can find his presence right here. Not figuratively, literally. Right here in the church of God. Right here in the community of God. That's what David is saying. See, people kind of think, I'm running to the Lord. And then we don't see them for 6 months because they thought they ran to the Lord. Can I encourage you, wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he says, I am right here. That's the place. Not to run out to God there when God is here. That we literally go, I will find myself in the house of God. In my most broken times of my life, I've not run from God, I run to God. Sometimes I haven't even been able to lift my hands in praise because I got nothing to praise God for. And he goes, that's okay, I'll surround you. I'll protect you. You're in a great place here. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? Can you sense his Holy Spirit beginning to touch your world and your life? I can. And he says, he shall hide me. This is beautiful. And then he shall set me on a rock. High up. So in other words, All those things that once were overwhelming and overcoming you, you're now above them. And they look a lot smaller. And here's the coolest thing. They can see you and you can see them, but they can't touch you anymore. Because you are set up. God says, I will set you up. I will lift you up. So your perspective begins to, your circumstance may not change, but your perspective changes. And when your perspective changes, that changes everything. Because if you are bigger on the inside, then no matter what's coming against you from the outside, greater is he that's within me than he that's in this world. When you begin to understand that, when you begin to step into the revelation of that, you go, I know who I am. My identity is wrapped up and understood in the presence of God. When I'm in his hands, when I'm under his shadow in that place, I'm protected, not rejected. I'm forgiven, not forsaken. I'm washed, not wasted. I'm hidden in him, but promoted for him. I'm rescued from a time of trouble and literally released for a time of triumph. Amen. We ought to get excited. You ought to get excited and about the understanding of running to God in that moment, running to the Lord. Because listen, let me tell you, your present is about to change when it collides with his presence. Wait, did you hear that? Your present is about to change when it collides with his presence. I want you to grab your present, your debt, and I want you to turn around and run as hard as you can into God and see who breaks. Do you see that? Your negativity, you're always struggling to get by, your lack of victory in this area. I want you to take that brokenness and I want you to let it collide with God and see what happens. Because when your present collides with the presence of God, there's only one survivor. And it is the future that God has for you. His presence overwhelms those things. Victory will come. I promise you, when you begin to understand this, you will no longer be held captive to your present circumstance, because you'll understand one thing, that when God has begun a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the devil may come against you one way, but he will flee from you seven ways. And you begin to stand in the greatness of God. And when you suddenly stand there and you notice something, you're not alone, because in his presence, the Bible says there's fullness of joy. Why is that? Because there's other saints in his presence as well. You're not alone in his presence. You're in community in his presence. And when you're in the community of the presence of God and you stand arm in arm, you literally create a force field against the works of the devil. And you're like going, I belong to something bigger than any strategy or plan that the devil has for me. I've got a future in God. I've got a hope. And even though this has been spoken over my life, I am not held captive to it, because God is at work in here. I'm under his shadow. Don't you know who my dad is? As the band comes today. King David was a man who really understood this. What I love about the Psalms is they are just so raw, aren't they? About the struggles of his life. And I don't know about you, but I can find myself in the Psalms and I locate myself so many times. Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord. And then it's like, kill them, Lord. Kill them. And then one of his Psalms is my favorite, because he's like, kill them, Lord. Kill them. And then he's like, no, don't kill them. Let them live in pain and agony forever. And I'm kind of going, yeah, David, preach it. And then unfortunately, the Psalm ends with him getting all, holy and going, Lord, don't worry about them. I just love you. It's like, he just literally puts it out there. David and his men were doing the work of the Lord, and the Bible says they're out campaigning, and they came back home and they're really tired and they've had a really big week at work and people have been laid off, and they come home to their town and the town has been ransacked and attacked. People are dead everywhere. And everything of value is gone. Okay, worse. All the women, all the children, all the future hopes and dreams have been carted away. And they're so tired, and they come back into this place and they're like, I mean, could you imagine trying to look at that? And you're so tired. You're cresting over the hill and you're going, I can't wait to be home. And the moment you get over the hill, you see the smoke, and they're not the smoke from the fires for the celebration meal. They're the smoke of your whole life burning down. But nobody escaped. And here's where it gets really worse. Because David's lost his own wives and his own children and his own possessions. And he had a lot more to lose than everybody else. But something greater happened because he was the guy. He was the head. Everybody then turned to him because of their grief and wanted to outwork it. I mean, have you ever not had so much hurt on the inside of you that you direct it to somebody? If you've been married, you know what that's like when you're hurting and you need to yell at somebody. So you turn to your spouse and you share the love of Jesus and your brokenness. You just want to scream. And in this place of brokenness and absolute horror, we read 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. It says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, not figuratively, literally they were going to kill him because they were so cut to their heart. The soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And then this amazing word in the Bible, but David ran to God. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Where do you run when it all gets to be too much? I ask people, I haven't seen them for a while in church. Hey, how you been? Haven't seen you for a while. Yeah, Pastor, we've been going through some tough times, but we're back now. What? What do you mean? You've been going through, and then now you, I don't know. Don't you know that this is a place to run to, not from? You need to know where to run to when it happens to you. Because instead of running from and hoping that it gets better and then coming back when you think it's all okay, you need to know this is the place to run to. Struggling with things in your world, run to the family. Struggling to overcome hurt, run to the family. Unsettled in your mind or your emotions or whatever the situation, run to the family. We want to make room for you in this place. We want you to find a security and a safeness in God. And literally, after the service this morning, we got our ministry team. We want to pray for you right at the front here if you need prayer. So that somebody can stand with you. Because this is how we're meant to do it. That there's a secret place power here in the house of God. Surrounded by men and women of God who will partner with you. We don't have it all together, but we are surrounded by songs of gladness. Or come and talk to somebody at the Yes Bar. But don't walk out of here the same way that you walked in, because this is your opportunity to continue to run, but to run the right way, to find yourself in the presence of God. So close your eyes and bow your heads in this place. Jesus, where do you run? Where do you run? Where do you run? Holy Spirit, we come into your presence right now. Oh man, I feel it. Some people will be on that edge, feeling the need to run, the desire to run. Let them run into your presence. Let them run undercover. Let them run under the shadow of the Almighty, that He would protect them, surround them, and release them. Holy Spirit, come. Breathe upon us in Jesus' name.